Thank you. Thank you, Joan. Thank you, Jimmy. Thanks, everyone, for coming out. This is my book, The Drowning Boy's Guide to Water. If you like what you hear, I have some copies to sell. If you've never met me or heard or read in any of my work, I write mostly about race, relationship, and romance. And so hopefully the reading I have here will give you a little slice of that. I'm going to read a few poems from the book, but I wanted to start with a couple new pieces that I just had published in IDK magazine recently. So this first piece is called Clotilda. I think it was earlier this year they found this ship called the Clotilda, which was apparently the last slave ship ever known to come from Africa bringing enslaved persons. So I had to write a poem about that. Clotilda. Charred wreck of old white men's bets. Say it with me. America finds itself in the muck once again. I read about the dinosaur spine schooner scuttled in the silt of Mobile, and my body bends to the language of this loss, all vex and reflex. At least they know, I think, to myself. I think somewhere a MAGA-minded son of the South reads about the last slave ship to bring Africans to America, jokes about a return trip back to Benin. At least we know how this ends. Say it with me. States' rights, Southern way, Kalu Calais, no work today. At least we know this is where it stopped, don't we? My mind is muddied reading about this cenotaph choked back from the past, the almost immediate overtures for research and reconstruction, and I must resolve to think to myself, hey, at least we know who did it though, right? At least they know the dimensions. 86 feet by 23 feet they measure with tape, but my blood knows the true size of a ship is displacement, knows the size of slavery isn't feet but fear, the beam of generations forever shackled to the delta, and I'm supposed to celebrate another dinosaur the dirt coughed up, like America isn't already a museum of natural history, back braced with the bones of 20 generations of Clotildas. At least they know Cujo. At least they know the slavers were caught and never charged. At least we're used to that 160 years past the trafficking. At least they knew where to look from Foster's written records. No surprise here. Isn't it just like the acquitted to brag and confess their work? Zimmerman, Wilson, Shelby, Pantaleo, Yanez. At least they know there's money in it. Always the profit, even in the water, even in the archaeology, even in their excitement, even in their excavation. A slave ship sails back, and all they can say is, maybe. Even in 2018, that's just the least they know. Thank you. One day I was just really angry about Donald Trump, and then this poem happened. That's the only introduction I really have for this, so you'll see what I mean in a moment here. This poem is called Stop Me. If I ever met the president, you might have to stop me from calling him a nigger. Reparations. I don't trust people who speak simply about complex things. Kid wisdom. The floor is always lava. Don't step on the cracks in the sidewalks. Superstition. A ghost story is a conjuring, not a burial. Witness. The twine it takes a sycamore to still a black body. Silence. If I ever met the president, it wouldn't be a question whose button is bigger. His red and mine black lives matter. Take a knee. I sit in the back of a poetry reading and notice all the funny thing next do. Predictable. I stand for the anthem and notice all the funny things people do to remind themselves they love something. Desperation. Sometimes a recipe can be too literal. Knuckle blood. Bigotry wears the same dress to every party, dances the same tired dance. Lonely. I'm no good, lonely. I'm no good without a good drink and a murder of white women walking by. Ghost story. Stop me if this sounds familiar to anybody. I am not a tissue for drying your racism. Thin. The property line between a blessing and a privilege. If we ever meet, I'd have to tell you that we have no better angels. Privilege. All my windows and mirrors are beginning to look the same. Stop me. First place in a swim meet in a sewer. Politics. If I ever met the president, huge, hubris, hyperbole. If I ever met the president, stop me. If I ever met the president, I'd remind him about the funny thing next due between twine. Witness. If I ever met the president, I'd be no good without a ghost story. All the funny things bigotry does backlit with gaslighting. When I take a knee, it's for the undoing of knots around the necks of my ancestors. Rewind. If my neck ever does something funny, stop me. If I ever step on the cracks, stop me. If I am ever murdered by a white woman, stop me. If I ever introduce myself as a ghost story, stop me. If I ever call the president a nigger, silence. All right. This next poem I wrote after drinking a whole bottle of wine. And so it's called Bottle. The slow silhouette of your pouring is thin against the wall, and for that I thank you. I'm walking, floorboards like piano keys, but the air in the room is just air. The yawn of the glass looms rouge. I have never been in a mouth so big. Hello, Pinot. Hello, cork dust. Hello, sulfites. You have a way of making each second feel like two, and tonight is a good night for ghost stories. The label goes dark. Your neck goes dark. Wide lips are tinted. When I put your mouth to my ear, it's the throat of the ocean that's the loudest. I will see dead children crawling up the walls if that's what you want, but don't let them laugh. Goodbye, pillow. Goodbye, shut-eye. Goodbye, nighttime. Thank you for the red mouth, for complicating my relationship to sweet things. Because of this, the muscle beneath my teeth is learning to quick twitch. You have a way of making a voice box a container, and this makes me want to be an archivist. I read about a pillar in Hamburg, Germany, that the whole town signed and then buried. This can be our little secret, my spine sinking beneath my skin into your gravity. You are too good not to remind me that we have already been here. I swear last January was 2 years ago, but you have a way of shrinking the universe. Under these stars, the oldest light we can see is a small patch of red. How familiar. I imagine when God decided to start the cosmic stopwatch, he must have been thinking about a sunset, its lowest streaks, the winking hue of the horizon. I see it when you kiss me. Before I say I love you, I want to burn my tongue on your tongue, learn a language nobody knows. They say the moon pulls the tides over the planet, so I must be the drunkest thing beneath the sea. Hello, smooth sip. Hello, big pour. Hello, hollow. I like the way you are a lighthouse. Because I know how to drown, I'm not afraid to get wet. This next one is called Solemn Pittsburgh Abad. There are houses on fire every night here. It doesn't seem a sin to let them burn. It doesn't scare me to wake up to their ghosts still hanging skyward. A siren in the war streets, its doppelganger spotted in Garfield clear across this city, tucked tight between smokestacks smacked along every shore, barge brown rivers in a slow grind against the Allegheny Plateau. Nothing much changes here. It was built this way and it was built to burn. I like it like that. After all, what is water without steel to cross it, a mountain that you cannot pierce, a city without forest all around? Here is where autumn comes to die, on stone steps and gridless potholed streets. I spend my days by a cathedral watching traffic swell and swirl. I spend my time like a poem spends its lines, trying to find where to pause and where to stop. Most endings and pauses I find can hurt. One time, I love somebody. One time, I crossed this street when I was in love. Time will damage anything if you let it, so we've built this place to last, place placards of history along the streets and landmark any building that dares to crumble. This is Pittsburgh. Black and gold bones buried deep, dinosaurs at cobblestone intersections wrapped in scarves, 100-ton iron ladles frozen in shopping districts. We only fight each other about what doesn't get to stay. Sometimes on these stone steps, I fight myself about what to keep and what to remember. My heart is a museum where all the exhibits are closed. Love in this city comes as often as the sun, the reset of September, pulling clouds over Mount Washington, where I lived and worked, where some nights I'd walk its edge and see houses burning on the horizon and feel the flames in my chest. I didn't have a word for it then. All I knew was the feeling of coming home in the evening to my roommate on his computer, watching videos of chess masters playing each other. The silence of him slumped sideways on the sofa, stacks of Nietzsche and Jung casting shadows on the half-full, half-empty coffee cups, eyes heavy with the shade of the room, a reflection of Bobby Fischer in his glasses, hand on the rook, and my roommate's hand on the trackpad. History with the slide of a finger. I'm going to read one more poem. It's a little bit of a longer poem. So thank you again for having me and for listening. If I can find it. This poem is called Redwoods in the Hood. One. If I said ghost story, would you think of the woods? Campfire busy with the crackling, a standard jet black night behind a huddle of people, one of them telling some impossible story, the rest leaning in, jumping with every pop of flame on a log. If I said ghost story, would you think of a casket, the inside of a black church, busy with pictures of the deceased, a mother, father, sister, brother, aunt, uncle stepping up to the pulpit, having to tell the impossible story, their ears still attuned to the pop of a pistol, bodies felled from the weight of it all. Two. Did you know that trees communicate with each other? Did you know that fungus is the internet of the forest? Did you know a mother tree can send its children nutrients through the fungi? Did you know you pass through a living room of laughter when you walk through the park? Three. Walking in the park with my love, I decide to name all the fallen trees after black bodies. Renisha, Philando, Rakia, Alton. She is quiet. The woods are hushed. A branch clatters under the weight of a bird. Four. In my poetry class, I tell a group of seventh graders that a good way to learn about metaphors is to think about trees. What are all the parts of a tree? What have you seen trees do? What do they look like? Use all those descriptions as metaphors. The kids stare at me. I love using trees, I laugh. The kind of laugh that says, I know I'm not serious, but yes, I am serious, and they should take me seriously, too. We start working. The paper they write on is thin, and it tears as they erase. Five. If I said the word deciduous, would you think of autumn and spiced coffees, gourds and ghouls on every doorstep, a rake plowing through a yard of leaves piling up and up and up? If I said deciduous, would you think of little boys with dark faces and little girls with dark faces and continue to rake them into piles, bag them, and leave them to be taken? Six. We only think a tree is dead if it has fallen, but the forest knows long before then. We relish in watching the fall, then squirm at the rot. We never stick around to see everything in it eventually come back to the living. Seven. In another class, I tell a group of fifth graders to imagine impossible things and write about how they came to be. What is the other side of the moon hiding? I ask. What do the grass and the stones say to each other? What do trees dream about? Eight. Dreams of rain. Dreams of seeds. Dreams of petals and pulse. Dreams of forest breathing. Dreams of me, bark and branch. Dreams from my roots. Dreams from the other side of the woods. Dreams from my father. Dreams from my mother. Dreams from the atmosphere. Dreams from mountaintops. Dreams from tomorrow. Dreams from yesterday. Dreams of prosperity. Dreams of survival. Dreams without end. Nine. If I said the word evergreen, would you plant one? If I told you where to plant an evergreen tree, where would you dig? If I helped you dig, can you promise not to come back cutting? Can a forest be more than just for reaping? Can a tree's roots be more than lips searching in the deep, dark dirt? Is a black kid allowed to be more than a ghost story waiting to be told? 10. As much as one could say a black body is a tree, one could say this planet has more forest than we ever thought. And if black bodies can be any tree, let them be redwoods. Let them grow strong and sturdy. Let them have crowns unparalleled. Let them stand a millennium. Let them be ambassadors from another time. Let them be plentiful and prospering. Let them be. Let them be. Let them. 11. I didn't grow up in the hood. but my backyard is the edge of a forest. If a tree falls in the woods and no one is there to see it, who can say whether its life mattered or not? Thank you.